afternoon. You are joining We the People Radio on a sunny Sunday afternoon here. Microphone's not actually hooked to the stand. There we go.
Yeah, you're looking good.
We had some logistics to do there. So,
now the previous show likes to mess with you, you know.
I know. All of a sudden it's like,
booby trap all the microphones.
It's true that they're all like hanging by a thread. It's happening. People fidgeting with them. Oh, my goodness. So, my name is Aaron Ryan.
And I'm Bill Cundiff.
And I'm Bob Martin.
So now you can identify some of the voices, and our guest is MIA here. Oh, there he is.
Yes, he and his dog were indisposed.
The dog ran in the potty for a second. Oh, my goodness. Well, we might as well get the laughing out because this will be the end of it. This will be the end of the laughing. Oh, my gosh. This is going to be a frustrating topic today. Our city governments. And we're not even going to get into county governments, but we're going to look at a city government today, a specific example. But it could be coming to a city near you. And so the idea is, as you listen to the goofy stuff that's going on here, and
consider your own town. Take a hard look.
And at the end of the day, too, you know, you'll wind up with some clues to look for.
Yeah.
In your own city and all of its
glory,
luster. Yeah. Just in case you thought it had luster, maybe it didn't have luster because people in Reading think it has luster and.
Instead of luster, it's got bling.
We're dropping the luster bomb today. It's not going to be good. So just by way of housekeeping, you can find us online at wethepeopleradio.us. And archives back into, I don't know, 2010 or something?
2009, I think.
I don't know.
2010 was when the show started.
Yeah, it's kind of a long time.
What do I know?
Yeah.
I was doing coffee
but
back then.
Bill was hiding out in the lobby, refusing to come through the door. I'm never going in there. I'm never talking on the radio.
I had microphone phobia.
That obviously went away. So, anyway.
Tomorrow will be my 6th anniversary on the show.
Yeah, I was going to ask you that. You were here after, like, almost, it wasn't even a year, was it?
I believe I had been with the radio station for about 6 months before I joined.
Oh, I didn't know that. I thought you were here for a long time before that. Huh?
No. Well, in this business, 6 months is a long time. But
it's like dog years.
No, if I'm remembering correctly, which I'm pretty sure I am, the first show I did was on September 11th of 2011.
Some
other year? 2011, wow. Yeah.
No kidding.
6 years ago.
Well, I'm glad somebody pays attention. Yeah, the archives, we've got them all commercial free for you. It's sitting in there, and I listed the topics for some folks a couple of weeks ago. We've really run the gamut. There's a little bit of everything in there. And always looking for your ideas and suggestions. You can always email them to us or give us a call. That information's all on the site. So, without jamming things up further, everybody's in their chair. The microphones are hooked to the things. And I think we're ready to go.
We're ready to rock.
So, we have Patrick Jones with us today. Grew up in Reading, attended Shasta College. This is probably needed to be updated, so you can give me the high sign when I blow it. I went to Shasta College and Sacramento State University for the past 28 years. I tried to advance the years based on when we had you on the show last time.
Well, I finished Sac State in 1990.
Mm.
And so, so it was about 27 years after that. But I grew up in Reading. I worked at Jones's Fort Gun Shop my whole life. So from the age of 4 when I started working.
Oh, yeah, it's longer than 28 years.
Yeah, so people ask me that all the time. How long have you been working in it? And so I don't know what to tell them. They're going to call me a liar one way or the other. And if I tell them the truth, they're going to say that's impossible.
I've been working here since I was 4.
It's like you can't be that old.
I say 20-plus years or something just to appease them, but it's been a long time. It's been a lifetime. And but most people in the private sector and small businesses, you know, we work a lot longer than what, some of these folks at City Hall work.
So you're not like rich land barons just, you know, sitting around collecting money, huh?
And in addition to working my entire life, I work 6 days a week. And so not 4 or 5, but 6, and I have from my entire life.
See, and I always thought you could have retired, 15 years ago. You just love to work.
Yeah, well.
He's just a crazy worker. He was also active on the city council. He was a member of the city council from 2006 to 2014.
Correct.
And your thing, that entire time, super unpopular. Well, okay, I should qualify that. For people who actually care about what's actually going on, was not super unpopular. But for the, city fathers, as it were, and the people who just want to think everything's fine, talking about the city living within its means and dealing with budgetary issues and oncoming pension crises and all those sorts of things, super unpopular. Yep.
Yeah, you know, and you know, we all watched it, you know, if people lived here in the Redding area and really anywhere in the country and certainly in California, we saw the big boom years of 2001, 2, 3, 4, 5. You know, we saw that high economy, but I knew that that was a bubble and that it would not last. And anybody that had any common sense knew that as well. But the way they were planning and spending was as if those types of gains would go on for 1,000 years, literally. We all knew this was a big problem, particularly with pensions. But all throughout city government, they're spending beyond their means. And so as soon as I got elected in late 2006, December, I was sworn in. Won election in November, barely, by 89 votes, and got sworn in. And then starting in 2007, the economy started to turn, and just as a lot of us expected. Now, we didn't know that it would go down, you know, 10% quarter after quarter after quarter for like two straight years, but it was a global recession that of a type that we hadn't seen for a while. But I knew that was coming, and so I constantly disagreed with city staff. They were acting as if this
is
just
going to turn around next month.
Yeah, next year it'll be fine. And so constantly disagreeing with them and even calling for our city manager to resign. And that was very unpopular in closed session, and people didn't like that. But the reality was that they were spending as if there was no change. And the world changed. Our city changed. And certainly California has changed with that global recession. And we have not recovered yet. And to make matters worse, the city has been spending and overspending so much that they've been stealing money from every pot that we can, particularly out of the utility,
just the electric utility. Just to keep the pace of what they're used to.
Because a lot of cities don't have, well, should we take a swift break, Bob? Should we actually do it on time? I just want to point this out. It is 12:15 now.
We'll confuse everybody.
It's actually 12:15. Take the break. It's kind of fun when somebody's in the studio because you can kind of give them the eyeball clue, you know, on the phone. Yeah, we suck at that, actually. Things we suck at, put that on the list. So you're listening to We the People. Join us online, wethepeopleradio.us. You guys used to play that right before city council, right?
Yeah.
It's like your theme song. So we were talking on the break that you know, everybody lives in a town of some size, you know, some small, some big. But you probably are more familiar with the specific demographic of
the
city.
You know, yeah, and Redding has, you know, we saw good growth in the 1990s, and we saw a little bit of growth, good growth in the early 2000s. But then, as we hit the global recession, that growth stopped. And to this day,
and it stopped.
It stopped immediately. And in fact, we're down about 4,000 people. We're down about 10%. Our town has not grown over the last 10 years.
So what are we? 90?
We're about 89,000 and change, and we were up to 94,000. And so, what's happening are people are leaving Redding, good people, and I know from my customers, I hear it every week. Good long-term customers, been here 20, 30 years, and they're leaving for Idaho, Nevada, name it, they're leaving.
But a lot of that is not necessarily Redding, it's the whole California picture.
Part of it is California, but part of it is Redding. People are getting very upset with
crime,
what's happening in Redding.
The homelessness, all that stuff.
Yeah, right. And I would say it's about 50-50. 50% of it is they are tired of what's happening in California, over-regulation on every level, and that's certainly very strong. And then for the other group, it's that plus the quality of life here now is deteriorating to the point where it's affecting them.
Sure.
Cars are being broken into. Houses are, I mean, when your house gets broken into more than once, you really don't feel like you're safe anymore. Mm-hmm. And that's happening to people.
And, well, and when they do catch the ones that are breaking into the houses, they
nothing
basically
happens.
Pinch them and turn them loose.
Right. Yeah,
so. Well, there's nowhere to put them, so it isn't.
Right.
Yeah, it isn't like we're happy with it.
But that's just another
right. Just to
part of the problem.
I mean, they were making estimates in the boom that Reading by now should have been about 130,000 people, and they were counting on that revenue because of their spending.
Sure.
And so, but that didn't happen. So now their spending is outpaced. How many people are here? And in fact, the town has shrunk. That's a serious problem. And then to make matters worse for the city, CalPERS has had some new actuarials, and we're on the hook for a lot more than people know. And you're not going to read it in the paper.
And this is for the pension program.
This is
for
the
public
pensions.
Employees.
And so now it's going to eat up more money in the general fund. So we've got less people in Reading. We have less things being bought and sold. And so that's hurting the city. We have now higher amounts that we're going to have to pay towards pensions. And it is why your city manager of 10 years or so has recently left, is because of that reason. He's seen those numbers. And he knows exactly what those numbers mean. It means there's going to be huge pressure on the general fund in the next few years, and quite likely you are going to lose police officers more. You're going to have to close fire stations. I mean, you're going to have to make some hard decisions. And we've made those decisions, you know, tough decisions in the past in the global recession, but they're going to be big now. And on top of that, the pilot lawsuit with Walt McNeil should be coming around within a year. And he is likely to win that, as he should, because he is correct.
Okay, now explain that one.
The pilot, the city of Reading, because we have our own electric utility, is charging the utility a payment in lieu of property tax.
So that's the pilot.
That's
acronym.
The pilot. And that's around $6.5 million a year. And they've been doing so for a long time. But about 5 years ago, there was a proposition that passed that said, hey, if you have a tax, the public has to vote on it. So send it out to the voters, and they'll tell you yes or no. And if they tell you yes, you can continue to do it. If they tell you no, you have to stop. City of Reading, in closed session with Kurt Starman and Barry Tippin and these folks, they said, no, we're not going to do that. I mean, shoot, a lawsuit, you know, might go on for 4 or 5 years, and we'll be up $40 million.
Time, here we go again.
And we'll be out of here, yeah. And somebody else has to clean up. And I said, well, but if you lose, you have to pay it back. And that's – so not only are we going to be short $6.5 million, but you might have to pay a large chunk of that back. 20-30 million, that's coming up in a year. And so that's, we don't have that money.
Where's that going to come
so,
from?
And that's the kind of management that we had, and that was the type of management that was instructing council to not do that. Walt McNeil came and warned council twice, you should put this out to the vote. It's very important. Their refusal to do so prompted Walt McNeil, a prominent attorney here in town, to pursue a lawsuit. He has won in Superior Court. And they have agreed with him. The city's appealed that, and they're seeing what's happening on the appeal. Now, it has a lot of ramifications up and down California. Other cities have been doing it, but at much bigger levels. Well, again, they've all failed to do what's legally responsible and put that out to the vote of the people. In addition to that, the city has been stealing the late fees, over $2 million a year in late fees from the electric utility, and putting that over in the general fund. Which is totally wrong because it has nothing to do with the city's general fund. It came from the utility. Your rates should be lower. Mm-hmm. We have a very good electric utility, very high quality. We have good people running it. Mm-hmm. It's not, and people always get the wrong impression. Because
I got to say that was probably one of the best moves they ever made. Was
having their own utility is very
their own
smart.
Utility. And, yeah. And I remember when they
well,
did
it always
that.
Made you know should you because we had never lived in the city. We had always. Well, we lived in the city briefly, but then we lived in the county for a long time. And when we moved into the city, we thought, well, this actually would probably be a good thing because Pacific Gas and electric rates were going through the roof.
Sure.
So we thought, wow,
yeah,
this is going to make
it always lower.
Yeah, this
lower.
Is going to make a huge, huge difference, but it's not as huge a difference.
We should have really one of the lowest electric rates in the state. We really should. We have our own electric utility that is ours. It's owned by the people of Reading, mm-hmm. and the goal is to have good, solid, reliable electric utility services, but in addition to have very good rates. The city continues to raise those rates because they keep stealing money in various other
and
manners.
And using it for other things in the city.
Absolutely. Here's another great theft that they just did. And I voted no on the police facility because it's on the backs of the electric utility. And it was a total theft. And
to build the police
police facility.
The police station?
They kicked the electric utility out of City Hall. Well, they paid one-third of that building. They paid for it. The electric utility paid to build one-third of City Hall. So that was owned, one-third of it was by the ratepayers. So they kicked them out without compensation and put the police in. And so now the utility had to go on Airport Road and for $12 million build a new facility.
Yep.
So you built the police facility on the backs of the ratepayers. Total theft. And again, I try to explain that to the paper, and they won't print it, but it's a theft. It's a theft, and they're milking the utility as a cash cow. Now, there was a much bigger
okay, so
story.
Wait, before you leave that, though. Okay, so I'm always trying to look, what would the other guy say? Okay, so some other people would probably say, I'm just guessing, that, well, the people get the benefit of the police, and they have the benefit of the public utility, so what difference does it make if the public utility pays for that? It's all the same thing, it's all the same people, and they're all still benefiting from all of that.
Well, what I would say to that is that your electric utility is a freestanding enterprise fund. It doesn't fund anything else. And if you start going down that track of doing good things, because having a new police facility is a good thing. Their old facility was old and decrepit, and it wasn't a great building. It was working, but it wasn't very nice, but it was working. But nevertheless, it did need to be replaced. But there's a right time and a place to do it. If you manage your general fund correctly, that's where that money comes from. You don't constantly keep stealing from the electric utility, because pretty soon you're going to say, you know what, I need a trail. Boy, that trail's a wonderful trail, and let's just take it out of the utility. And, hey, I like, you know, that theater over there is a great theater. They need a new building. Let's take it out of the utility. Or, hey, we want to stop these people over here from building, so let's buy that piece of property as a spite strip. Oh, yeah, the utility did that. So you got to be very careful about taking money out of something where it really has no business, you know, being taken from. And then the city has had a history of it. And
because then the city, well, it's a little bit like your kid is on a certain allowance, which we didn't have money for allowance.
Well,
but,
Social Security. On an allowance, Social Security is a great
steal
example.
Money out of your wallet in the background. So
once you start going down the wrong path, it's hard to turn around.
When they bought that utility company out there,
yes,
the whole deal at that time was we're going to have our own utility and we'll have one of the cheapest rates, and the city will really benefit by having cheap power. And there was a lot of controversy over whether or not they should buy that. And they did it, and it turned out a good thing.
Now, if you run it well, and you really can, and we really should still have and you know, it's not that our electric utility prices are sky high.
No,
but they're higher than they should be. They're higher than they should be.
What keeps it from being a standalone enterprise, because you have
the problem is the board of directors for the utility is your Reading City Council. The Reading City Council is controlled by city management.
So is that how they get around it?
That's how they get around it. Now, we created, when I was on council, we created a citizens oversight committee.
Right.
Just to start to look at it. And as soon as I was voted out of office, they got rid of it that month.
Yep.
And they didn't want any new eyeballs on it, and they didn't want any hard looks at it. And
there was some stuff about to come out on that, too, when they shut it all down. I heard that's why they did it. They didn't want any of that information
out. You know, and so, again, when you're using something as a cash cow, you need more secrecy. And to be honest, city council members, and I was one for, you know, 8 years, and when you're making decisions and policy decisions on the entire city, all the utilities, the electric utility, police, fire, you name it, are you experts in any one of those areas? Are we an expert? We really know very little about the electric
utility.
Well,
politicians typically aren't experts in anything.
Correct.
That's who.
Well, how could you be? I mean, citizens aren't either.
I mean, it's a full-time job to really understand any separate division, let alone a part-time city council. In fact, every time I said, you know what, city council should be a full-time job, easily, I was ridiculed. Very much for that, and they want it the way that it is so that staff can easily make recommendations. Because we have lack of knowledge, we must accept it, because we don't have any other knowledge than what we're being
told.
And that leads me into my big concern. I call it the Michael Brown case. And Michael Brown was an interesting fellow. I don't believe I ever met him, but he came to City Hall to work in about 2012, as I recall, and he was terminated after 6 months, and City said he was not a good fit.
What was he supposed to be doing?
Well, he was working within the utility, and he had two degrees. He had a law degree and a degree in electrical engineering or something of that sort. So the city, when they interviewed him, they thought this guy, you know, he's interviewed well, and he's
qualified.
Got two separate degrees. He could do very well. In fact, he could maybe rise to the top in the utility. So they had a lot of hope for him, and a very smart guy, and he's got a very good resume. I didn't know him, and personnel issues like that council members would rarely ever see. But because this guy was terminated and I saw the word not a good fit, that caught my attention. I've seen it before, and that usually to me is a red flag as to what wasn't such
AKA
a good fit.
AKA will not play ball.
And he made some strong allegations. He said at the time that our electric utility director, our acting director, Tim Nichols, was taking bribes from Shell Oil. And, of course, that's a big accusation.
Yeah, that is.
And he's also said we had some corrupt dealings with some gas purchases that we did that I was involved in, that I approved. And city council or city management quickly said he was not credible. It was in the paper briefly in 2012. He did sue the city for wrongful termination, and eventually it just simply went away. And eventually I talked to his attorney, and they just simply said, you know what, everybody at City Hall is going to lie. The city manager is going to lie. Barry Tippin's going to lie. Kurt Starman's going to lie. These guys are all going to lie. And this guy was only there for 6 months. And, you know, it's going to be very tough for us to prevail in court. And so I talked to them and I said, you know, it looks like this guy has some merit. I got an email a few months after Michael Brown was terminated, and maybe it was about a year after he was terminated, that, and I don't even know who sent me the email. Either I don't know or I don't remember. It's been a few years. Where the FPPC caught Tim Nichols.
The Fair Political
Practice Commission, which is a watchdog group out of Sacramento.
They
found something out. So I think we need to take a break and we can talk about that when we come back.
The suspense. I know. All of a sudden I'm like, oh, Bob, fun killer. All right, take a break. So we're delving into the city of Reading, but it could be coming to a town near you. So we don't know what's going on in your town, but if this isn't a warning, I guess, that it's time to pay attention to what's going on in all of our little towns and cities, and big ones too. There's a lot more to it than meets the eye. We'll be back with our guest, Patrick Jones, here at We the People. Join us online, wethepeopleradio.us.
Something that you don't understand. Still you wonder who's cheating who, who's being true, who don't even care anymore. It makes you wonder who's doing right with someone tonight and whose car is parked next door.
So there we kind of have the theme song to your time on City Council. Lots of themes, lots of songs. Okay, so on the break, you were talking about the rape. But I hate to, we always have to redo. On the break, we should all be like in the cone of silence or something, you know, so we can't talk to each other.
Well, we had this, we were talking about the FPPC, and Tim Nichols was caught by the Fair Political Practice Commission. Taking a bribe from Shell Oil, a Rolex watch valued at over $8,000, and he was fined $5,500, and I received this email. Now, that's a pretty big deal. Normally, you'd be terminated. I mean, you're taking a bribe.
Right. And he was the head of...
Acting director at the time. Okay. And so, here he's caught taking a bribe, and this is one of Michael Brown's allegations that Tim was taking bribes. Now the FPPC has caught him taking a bribe. I get the email.
But Mr. Brown already is down the road.
He's already down the road.
Okay.
But I see this email had been CC'd to the city or to Record Searchlight 3 weeks before.
The newspaper.
The newspaper had this information for 3 weeks, wouldn't print it. Wouldn't print was going to protect the city and protect Mr. Nichols.
Now, why do you think the Record Searchlight is in the tank for the city?
Don't know exactly. So I called up Jenny Esmino the very day I got that email and said, hey, I see you've had this. And why is it not in the paper? I said, you are protecting them, and this is an issue. Mm-hmm. Oh, no, we're not. And I said, if it was me, it would be in the front page, and I would be released from my duties at City Hall.
Yeah.
So the next day, they put it in the paper. And of course, they had our city manager, Kurt Starman, coming on board with his quote saying, you know, it's to our credit that Tim Nichols is such, you know, he's paid this. And so it's so wonderful we have great city employees.
Wow. But the fact that that's quite a spin there.
Yeah, it's quite a spin. So it made it look as if we have good city employees. And we do have a lot of good city employees. But when you have a bad one, he should have been terminated and fired. And then now this gives credibility to Michael Brown because he said he was taking bribes. Now, what's really important here is he took a bribe from Shell. Why is he getting bribes from Shell Oil?
That was the question.
Well, we deal with Shell. And we deal with Shell in a big way. And one of those ways was a few years before Michael Brown got there, and this goes to one of his other allegations, was that the city came to us, council members, and I was one of them at the time, and they said, hey, a lot of our gas purchases are coming to an end. And that's what runs our gas turbines to run the power, to run the city, and they're coming to an end. And we're struggling to find any good long-term contracts, but we have one, just one. And it's a $400 million purchase. And we all took a step backwards and said, you're kidding, right? And they said, no. And they said, actually, it's bigger than that. It's $1.5 billion gas purchase. But we're going to go into partners with our sister cities, Santa Clara and Modesto. And they're going to pick up the lion's share of it at $1.1 million. But we are going to purchase $400 million. But we only use it, buy it if we need it. So if we don't need it, we don't use it. And if we need it, we buy it. And then we also they also mentioned that it's not the best price that we've ever paid. And we asked, what price is it? And they said, well, it's about 7 cents a decatherm. And somebody noted, don't we normally pay about 3.5 to 4 cents a decatherm? Yeah, but again, even though this is high, we can lock it in, and we only need it if we need it. If we don't, we don't. And that's how it was explained to council. And that was Barry Tippin explaining that and Kurt Starman explaining that to council. And council all accepted that because that was the only information that we had. And that was the only gas purchase that was available at the time from the information that we got.
Mm.
Well, the reality is, for the city of Reading, you bought $400 million worth of gas at 7 cents a decatherm. That's what you bought. Now, to put that in perspective, and this is what Michael Brown did in his allegation, is that why did you buy 13? You're going to have to use 13,000 decatherms a day when your power plant uses less than 2,000.
Oh,
what are you going to do with all this gas? What would you can't possibly use it. Or do you think your city is going to expand 10 times overnight?
So who are we selling it to?
So what are we doing? So we're selling that on the wholesale spot market, and it's speculation of public funds, and it's illegal.
Yeah.
We have never used that gas for our own purposes. Michael Brown figured that out real quick, and he started making some strong statements as to, hey, you purchased this. You got council approval to do so because they didn't tell the full story. And now they're selling it on the spot market. Now, with 488 cities in California, you can always catch cities that are short on gas. And so they're selling it feverishly every day and up on the second floor with three cubicles. And they're making a profit on it. In fact, the wholesale market is probably as good as the entire retail market of the city of Reading. They're profiting quite a bit.
So we have like a little casino inside the electric utility.
The problem with it is that when you speculate like that, if the price of gas went down sharply, you're paying 7 cents a decatherm. You can't give it away. You can't sell it for 7 cents. And that's what Michael Brown said, is that you're about to enter into a catastrophe here, possibly, if these gas prices change. And they tried to get him to sell the gas. They tried to actually get him to help them sell the gas. And he refused, and eventually he caved in, and eventually the city said, you're just out of here. You're 6 months probation. You're not a good fit. And so, now, it's a $400 million purchase, and it's at 7 cents a decatherm, basically twice the market rate. It's possible that Shell made a profit of $200 million on this. off of you, the ratepayer for the city of Reading. They may have just profited $200 million off of you in one city in a short time period.
Sure.
That's amazing. Now
and all he got out of it was a watch?
No. Now he got more than a watch.
In fact,
Michael Brown was saying he was getting a lot more, but that's all that he was caught receiving.
Okay.
And so it's alleged that he's been getting a lot more. And I tell you what, if I was a company and I made big, big profits of the tune of millions, possibly hundreds of millions, I'd be given a lot more than a few watches myself.
Mm-hmm. So you said they're selling it on the spot market and making money on
making money.
What are they selling it for?
Well, they're selling it for, obviously, if you're making money, you got to be selling it for over seven cents. And they're catching cities that need it, and we have it. But the records also show that we're not using it. We don't need it.
Even though it may not have been a bad deal.
Yeah.
It's just illegal, though.
It's illegal.
It's illegal, and we pay double market rate.
Okay, so when it's illegal, who's the restricting authority? I mean, it's a violation where?
Well,
in what format?
So Michael Brown, he makes these allegations. He gets an attorney. He contacts the FPPC. They can't do anything. The grand jury was contacted. They're not doing anything. The district attorney was contacted. They're not doing anything. So nobody seems to be doing anything at all.
So the fact that they're speculating with public funds.
Well, isn't that what the FPPC is for? Aren't they supposed to investigate that type of activity and protect the public from?
I agree, and something should be done. The problem is here that if the city was found to be in the wrong, which I highly believe that they are, we own the gas.
Right.
And
now what?
Now we can't sell it on the open market. We have to use it. We can't possibly use that amount. So your rates are going to go sky high, catastrophe. And that's, again, what Michael Brown was saying, is that you've got yourself into a real pickle here because nobody's watching, the paper's not watching, and staff lied to council members. No council member in their right mind would have agreed to buy $400 million worth of gas if we knew we had to sell that amount per day. It would have never happened.
Well, aside from the fact that it's illegal, I mean, if they knew it was illegal, did they know it was illegal at the time?
No.
What they were going to do with the overage.
Where was our counsel?
Well, the way it was explained was that we would only buy it if we needed it, which is just simply not true. It made counsel believe, okay, well, yeah, it's high, but man, if we really need it, it's there.
Right.
And so we don't have any brownouts. But if we don't need it, we don't need it. Well, if we don't need it, we don't need it because they're going to sell it on the spot market. And they're going to sell it on the spot market every day. And that's what they've done.
Left that.
And they knew that because they knew we would never need gas at 7 cents a decatherm. It's twice the market rate. Now, Shell Oil setting this up, you know, who brought it to City Hall? And did they have the ability to influence that price? On a huge deal, all those questions are unanswered, and we don't know any of that. But that's the type of problem that can happen in cities up and down California and throughout the nation when you don't have good people at the helm and solid, responsible people looking out for the utility and the welfare of the city. And so we're in very bad shape with that. And eventually, as the truth comes out with that and other things, we'll have some serious problems.
So you were talking about the lawsuit.
Yeah, so with regards to Walt McNeil, he didn't just sit back, and he warned the city twice that what you're doing is wrong now, and you need to put it to the vote of the people with regards to the payment in lieu of a property tax. But then he didn't sit back. He sued the city. And he won. Now, most attorneys would, you know, because Walt's been at this thing now for, 5 years? He spent I don't know how much time and energy and money. He hasn't made one nickel on it, and he may never, depending on the outcome. So what kind of an attorney would take that on, right? It takes one heck of attorney with some backbone to be able to stand up to a city hall all by yourself, put your life and your fortune on the line to do it, and most will bow down.
And he lives here. It isn't like he's in San Francisco and this is some case he took to make his name.
And with regards to the payment in lieu of the property tax, because the city didn't do that, it forced then Walt to act. And now because there's a lawsuit, it puts cities like San Diego and Los Angeles in huge peril. because they've been stealing up to $150 million a year out of their utility.
So this isn't something that...
This has billions of dollars at stake now.
Right.
So if this case is not overturned on appeal...
They're going to have to pay it back.
Those guys take a bullet, too, because... Oh, yeah.
And that kind of answers the question why nobody's doing anything about it, because all these utilities are guilty, and they don't want the whole house of cards to come crashing.
So now when you're talking not just a few million and not just a few hundred million, now you're talking a much bigger number. Do you think some influence could possibly happen along the way? Mm. Yeah. And so can you get justice when there's so much money at stake? I'm not sure. Because this has drug on so long, I know Walt's probably nervous. I'm a little nervous for getting what's right and truthful out of it. It's drug on because of the consequences that many cities are going to face.
Yeah.
I think the court has ruled that you have to pay back 3 years, maybe more. So for, you know, San Diego or Los Angeles taking around $150 million, I mean, that's like $500 million you got to pay back now, and you're going to lose $150 million out of your general fund forevermore.
So it's in the appeal process right now?
They're appealing it, but it's coming to a wrap up here pretty quick, and so it's getting close.
Wow, the drumbeat.
So that's just on the payment in lieu of, and then you see these other things that are really concerning. And that's why for a city like Reading, you really do need a full-time city council, and you really do need a strong mayor where your city manager is the mayor, and if you don't like him, you can remove him.
Yeah.
Because otherwise these guys stay in there for a long time, and they're entrenched. And the public really needs to have more of an involvement and know. But without the paper and without people printing the truth.
That's the thing. If the newspaper won't do investigative reporting, maybe that's why the newspaper's down to, four pages or something? I mean, I regularly see them blowing down people's driveway, and I'm thinking...
The nickel's bigger.
Right.
Yeah, it's brutal. It's horrible. All right, quick break again. Celebrate a little capitalism here while we still can. You're listening to We the People. Join us online, wethepeopleradio.us.
I've always said there was enough to love. Now I hear you bragging, one of not enough. But someone tells me on the side of the spy, you got plans to make me one of 4 or 5. I guess this kind of thing just in your blood. Coming up, my love. I ain't no puzzle piece that needs to fit. If it takes more than me, let's call it quits. Cause I don't wanna go on to you like that. Don't wanna be a failure in your cat. I just don't wanna tell you, honey, I ain't mad. But I don't wanna go on to you like that. Ooh. You can't.
Yes. Soaking that in there. Okay, so again, on the break, we always learn more. How many cities in California? Is it half the cities in California?
Well, we have 488 cities the last time I checked, so it might be a couple more, maybe. But, yeah, about half of them, many of them have electric utilities. And, of course...
And they're all doing the same thing.
You know, the big cities have theirs. And so there's where the big amounts are. The smaller cities, it's much smaller, you know, for the city of
Reading. But it's all relative.
If they've been
using this money, putting it in their general fund, and they have to pay it back...
And if they didn't put it to the vote of the people, you know, 5 years ago, that
how many did? Do you know?
I don't know. I haven't heard of any that have.
Ooh.
And so it's a big issue on the payment in lieu of property tax, and that's just one issue facing the utilities and the general fund. Now, what it'll mean, and I'm very hopeful that Walt is successful on this, not because of all of his hard work and his energy, and because he came to City Hall and he warned them that this is what you needed to do. It was because it helps the utility. It's not continuing to take money from the utility, and it keeps that money with the utility and helps reduce pressure on your rates. In fact, you should have, you know, if he's successful, your rates should be reduced for a change. Mm-hmm. And they won't, but they should.
Which allows people to spend more money.
Spend more money.
In the city.
Sure.
It allows them to do all sorts of things.
Do all sorts of things, and that money gets regurgitated throughout the town.
Sure.
Also, when you have less utility rates, particularly for businesses, you can attract more businesses because of the lighter utility rates. And for some businesses, that's very important. Now, we've talked about Stillwater in the past, and how many jobs has it created? Zero. It has none.
And Stillwater is a business.
Is a business
park. It was
park.
Supposed to be a business park, but never turned into a business park.
Well,
right? Is there anything there?
Is there anybody out there?
No, there is nothing
there.
How much? They have sold.
Ground is it?
Yeah, I think it's 160 acres, something in that neighborhood.
So it's big.
It's a pretty good-sized business park, and when it's all said and done, at least this phase, the taxpayers will have paid $60 million in it. If we sell all the lots, we'll get back $14 million of the $60. Now, it was created to create jobs, which it has created none, and it was for light industry, good-paying jobs. But to try to do that, to attract industry to California, to Northern California, is impossible. The biggest failure with this, and this is a great fact, and it should really show other cities why you do not get involved in these types of things. City has no business in developing because they don't know what they're doing. And that's what developers are for, and they risk their own private sector money, not your taxpayers' money. You've lost
right.
$60 million in this thing, and you've created zero jobs.
And was this a brainstorm mm-hmm. of the city? It wasn't
yes.
like a private thing in the city?
It was the EDC, in conjunction with Mike Warren and city management, all thought, we need shovel-ready, we need a business park, and we need it shovel-ready.
But we had a business park.
We have a business park, and other cities have business parks sitting idle. But again, this was people with great ideas. Unfortunately, they're using your tax dollars.
So do you think there was really an alternative motive to this whole city?
Who's benefiting?
Well, yeah, right now I don't see anybody benefiting. And, it's just the blindness of city management not having any clue to what business is really about. Now, when you subsidize something, then it's also subject to prevailing wage. That's why the park will fail.
Ew.
So when you build there, you're going to be paying prevailing wage because it is subsidized greatly. And no one will build there. As soon as they see that fact, we could give a lot away and people still won't build there because of the cost of prevailing wage.
And prevailing wage is a union wage.
Correct.
That's much higher than
just
the on the street.
Right. And there's too many other buildings and places you can go. And so another big disaster for the city of Reading, and it'll cost the taxpayers $61 million. And they stole $10, $11 million out of the electric utility. I voted no so many times I can't count on that. But the developers do those things. And if a developer wouldn't do it, it's because there's no money to be made. And that's exactly what the city is learning, is that they're going to spend $60 million on that, and they will make no money. So a huge drain on us. We'll be paying debt service on that for a long time, and that comes right out of the general fund, and they've taken money out of the utility, again, increasing your rates, and that's incorrect. And even the city disagreed with the findings recently from the grand jury, and they argued those, but they're truthful.
The grand jury
said, this is a boondoggle. That you've taken, when it's done, it's going to be $60 million. You don't have anything to show for it. You have no management on it. You have no leadership on it. You have no vision for it. It's a total waste of money. And it's because the city needs to focus on the fundamentals of what a city does and leave everything else to the private sector, and it will take care of itself.
Yeah.
We do police and fire, and we do roads, and we do infrastructure. We do those things and stay out of everything else. The developers will gladly do that. If you get out of their way and let them do it, they'll do it.
Well, we have all sorts of, just one weird rule, like things I didn't even know the city was meddling in, frankly, where our office sits. It's kind of back in a bit of a flag lot, if you will, back off the road. So you don't see this fence. There's a long fence that runs along where all the little office buildings are. That borders on a parking lot that used to be a Safeway. I think it's a methadone clinic, which is bringing us an amazing clientele over on the other side of the fence. It's fun for everyone. But the little freak show over there, the people continue to kick the boards out of the fence. It's just a dog-eared board fence all the way down the thing. Well, it was at one point in time, it was probably a neat idea. They had these concrete pillars. Well, the pillars, the tree roots have come along. Now the pillars are like, boom, falling over. And they're not allowed to replace the pillars. They're not allowed to change the type of fence. They're not allowed to just put up like a chain link fence, right? That just goes through thick and thin. or something. The business has no ability to change the type of fence because the city mandates they have that type of fence.
Well, and it's incredible.
Well, how stupid is that?
And there's so much of that at City Hall, and it all needs to be fixed and
changed.
They're
spending literally, we have a fence guy out there. There's like a permanent fence guy.
Sure.
He's there.
On staff.
Yeah, we do. There's a fence guy out there. So the people who own that business park, how do they ever make any money?
Sure.
I mean, they're literally tied to a never-ending fence problem.
Well, that's why you see a lot of businesses leaving California and leaving Redding. And they're going elsewhere, and they're finding that they can make more money because of the ridiculous government overreach and corruption. And so one person can make a change. Michael Brown tried to. He got ran out of town. But I encourage everyone to step up, investigate, do your homework.
Oh, you're not going anywhere. Look at him. He's like going for the wrap-up. Yeah, oh, that's not happening. We're talking about more stuff next hour. You're our hostage.
I can stay for a little while longer.
This is a hostage negotiation. We're going to have it during the break, though, while you guys listen to the news. Hey, join us online, WeThePeopleRadio.us. Post it on your Facebook page and stuff like that so people listen. And we'll be right back.